Daenerys. Wings shattered her fever dreams. You don't want to wake the dragon, do you? She was walking down a long hall beneath high stone arches. She could not look behind her, must not look behind her. There was a door ahead of her, tiny with distance, but even from afar she saw that it was painted red. She walked faster, and her bare feet left bloody footprints on the stone. You don't want to wake the dragon, do you? She saw sunlight on the Dothraki Sea, the living plain rich with the smells of earth and death. Wind stirred the grasses, and they rippled like water. Drogo held her in strong arms, and his hand stroked her sex and opened her and woke that sweet wetness that was his alone. And the stars smiled down on them, stars in a daylight sky. Home, she whispered as he entered her and filled her with his seed. But suddenly the stars were gone, and across the blue sky swept the great wings, and the world took flame. Don't want to wake the dragon, do you? Ser Jorah's face was drawn and sorrowful. Rhaegar was the last dragon, he told her. He warmed translucent hands over a glowing brazier where stone eggs smoldered red as coals. One moment he was there, and the next he was fading, his flesh colorless, less substantial than the wind. The last dragon, he whispered, thin as a wisp, and was gone. She felt the dark behind her, and the red door seemed farther away than ever. Don't want to wake the dragon, do you? Viserys stood before her, screaming, The dragon does not beg, slut! You do not command the dragon! I am the dragon, and I will be crowned! The molten gold trickled down his face like wax, burning deep channels in his flesh. I am the dragon, and I will be crowned! He shrieked. And his fingers snapped like snakes, biting at her nipples, pinching, twisting, even as his eyes burst and ran like jelly down seared and blackened cheeks. Don't want to wake the dragon. The red door was so far ahead of her, and she could feel the icy breath behind sweeping up on her. If it caught her, she would die a death that was more than death, howling forever alone in the darkness. She began to run. I don't want to wake the dragon. She could feel the heat inside her, a terrible burning in her womb. Her son was tall and proud, with Drogo's copper skin and her own silver-gold hair, violet eyes shaped like almonds. And he smiled for her and began to lift his hand toward hers, but when he opened his mouth, the fire poured out. She saw his heart burning through his chest, and in an instant he was gone, consumed like a moth by a candle, turned to ash. She wept for her child, the promise of a sweet mouth on her breast, but her tears turned to steam as they touched her skin.
Want to wake the dragon?
Ghosts lined the hallway, dressed in the faded raiment of kings. In their hands were swords of pale fire. They had hair of silver, and hair of gold, and hair of platinum white, and their eyes were opal and amethyst, tourmaline and jade.
Faster, they cried. Faster, faster!
She raced, her feet melting the stone wherever they touched.
Faster!
The ghosts cried as one, and she screamed and threw herself forward. A great knife of pain ripped down her back, and she felt her skin tear open and smelled the stench of burning blood and saw the shadow of wings. And Daenerys Targaryen flew. Wake the dragon. The door loomed before her. The red door, so close, so close. The hall was a blur around her, the cold receding behind. And now the stone was gone, and she flew across the Dothraki Sea, high and higher, the green rippling beneath, and all that lived and breathed fled in terror from the shadow of her wings. She could smell home. She could see it, there, just beyond that door, green fields and great stone houses and arms to keep her warm. There, she threw open the door. The dragon... and saw her brother Rhaegar, mounted on a stallion as black as his armor. Fire glimmered red through the narrow eye-slit of his helm. The last dragon, Ser Jorah's voice whispered faintly. The last of the last. Dany lifted his polished black visor. The face within was her own. After that, for a long time, there was only the pain, the fire within her, and the whisperings of stars. She woke to the taste of ashes.
No,
she moaned.
No, please. Khaleesi.
Jikwi hovered over her, a frightened doe. The tent was drenched in shadow, still and close. Flakes of ash drifted upward from a brazier, and Dany followed them with her eyes through the smoke hole above.
Flying, she thought. I had wings. I was flying.
But it was only a dream.
Help me,
she whispered, struggling to rise.
Bring me...
Her voice was raw as a wound, and she could not think what she wanted.
Why did she hurt so much?
It was as if her body had been torn to pieces and remade from the scraps.
I want... Yes, Khaleesi.
Quick as that, Jikwi was gone, bolting from the tent, shouting. Dany needed...
Something. Someone. What?
It was important, she knew. It was the only thing in the world that mattered. She rolled onto her side and got an elbow under her, fighting the blanket tangled about her legs.
It was so hard to move.
The world swam dizzily.
I have to.
They found her on the carpet, crawling toward her dragon eggs. Sir Jorah Mormont lifted her in his arms and carried her back to her sleeping silks, while she struggled feebly against him. Over his shoulder she saw her three handmaids, Jogo with his little wisp of mustache and the flat, broad face of Miri Mazdur.
I must,
she tried to tell them.
I have to.
Sleep, princess, Sir Jorah said.
No,
Dany said.
Please, please.
Yes, he covered her with silk, though she was burning. Sleep and grow strong again, Khaleesi. Come back to us.
And then Miri Mazdur was there, the Magi tipping a cup against her lips. She tasted sour milk and something else, something thick and bitter. Warm liquid ran down her chin. Somehow she swallowed. The tent grew dimmer, and sleep took her again. This time she did not dream. She floated, serene and at peace, on a black sea that knew no shore. After a time, a night, a day, a year, she could not say, she woke again. The tent was dark, its silken walls flapping like wings when the wind gusted outside. This time Dany did not attempt to rise.
Iri,
she called.
Jikwi. Doria.
They were there at once.
My throat is dry, she said. So dry.
And they brought her water. It was warm and flat, yet Dany drank it eagerly and sent Jikwi for more. Iri dampened a soft cloth and stroked her brow.
I have been sick, Dany said.
The Dothraki girl nodded.
How long?
The cloth was soothing, but Iri seemed so sad, it frightened her.
Long,
she whispered. When Jikwi returned with more water, Miri Mazdur came with her, eyes heavy from sleep.
Drink,
she said, lifting Dany's head to the cup once more, but this time it was only wine. Sweet, sweet wine. Dany drank and lay back, listening to the soft sound of her own breathing. She could feel the heaviness in her limbs as sleep crept in to fill her up once more.
Bring me...
she murmured, her voice slurred and drowsy.
Bring... I want to hold...
Yes?
The Magi asked.
What is it you wish, Khaleesi?
Bring me... egg. Dragon's egg. Please.
Her lashes turned to lead, and she was too weary to hold them up. When she woke the third time, a shaft of golden sunlight was pouring through the smoke hole of the tent, and her arms were wrapped around a dragon's egg. It was the pale one, its scales the color of buttercream, veined with whorls of gold and bronze, and Dany could feel the heat of it. Beneath her bed silks, a fine sheen of perspiration covered her bare skin.
Dragon dew,
she thought. Her fingers trailed lightly across the surface of the shell, tracing the wisps of gold, and deep in the stone she felt something twist and stretch in response. It did not frighten her. All her fear was gone, burned away. Dany touched her brow. Under the film of sweat, her skin was cool to the touch, her fever gone.
She made herself sit. There was a moment of dizziness and the deep ache between her thighs. Yet she felt strong. Her maids came running at the sound of her voice.
Water, she told them. A flagon of water, cold as you can find it. And fruit, I think. Dates. As you say, Khaleesi. I want Ser Jorah, she said, standing.
Jikwi brought a sand silk robe and draped it over her shoulders.
And a warm bath, and Miri Mazdur, and...
Memory came back to her all at once, and she faltered.
Khaldrogo,
she forced herself to say, watching their faces with dread.
Is he... The Khal lives,
Eerie answered quietly. Yet Dany saw a darkness in her eyes when she said the words, and no sooner had she spoken than she rushed away to fetch water. She turned to Doria.
Tell me... I shall bring Ser Jorah,
the Lassine girl said, bowing her head and fleeing the tent. Jikwi would have run as well, but Dany caught her by the wrist and held her captive.
What is it? I must know. Drogo, and my child.
Why had she not remembered the child until now?
My son, Rago. Where is he? I want him.
Her handmaid lowered her eyes.
The boy, he did not live, Khaleesi.
Her voice was a frightened whisper. Dany released her wrist.
My son is dead,
she thought, as Jikwi left the tent.
She had known somehow.
She had known since she woke the first time to Jikwi's tears. No, she had known before she woke. Her dream came back to her, sudden and vivid, and she remembered the tall man with a copper skin and long silver gold braid bursting into flame. She should weep, she knew, yet her eyes were dry as ash. She had wept in her dream, and the tears had turned to steam on her cheeks.
All the grief has been burned out of me, she told herself.
She felt sad, and yet she could feel Rago receding from her, as if he had never been. Ser Jorah and Miri Mazdur entered a few moments later and found Dany standing over the other dragon's eggs, the two still in their chest. It seemed to her that they felt as hot as the one she had slept with, which was passing strange.
Ser Jorah, come here, she said.
She took his hand and placed it on the black egg with the scarlet swirls.
What do you feel?
Shell. Hard as rock. The knight was wary. Scales.
Heat?
No. Cold stone.
He took his hand away.
Princess, are you well? Should you be up, weak as you are?
Weak? I am strong, Jorah.
To please him, she reclined on a pile of cushions.
Tell me how my child died.
He never lived, my princess. The women say...
He faltered, and Dany saw how the flesh hung loose on him and the way he limped when he moved.
Tell me. Tell me what the women say.
He turned his face away. His eyes were haunted.
They say the child was...
She waited, but Ser Jorah could not say it. His face grew dark with shame. He looked half a corpse himself.
Monstrous,
Miri Mazdur finished for him. The knight was a powerful man, yet Dany understood in that moment that the Magi was stronger, and cooler, and infinitely more dangerous.
Twisted. I drew him forth myself. He was scaled like a lizard, blind with a stub of a tail and small leather wings like the wings of a bat. When I touched him, the flesh sloughed off the bone, and inside he was full of grave worms and the stink of corruption. He had been dead for years.
Darkness, Dany thought.
The terrible darkness sweeping up behind to devour her. If she looked back, she was lost.
My son was alive and strong when Ser Jorah carried me into this tent, she said. I could feel him kicking, fighting to be born.
That may be as it may be, answered Miri Mazdur. Yet the creature that came forth from your womb was as I said. Death was in that tent, Khaleesi.
Only shadows,
Ser Jorah husked, but Dany could hear the doubt in his voice.
I saw, Magi. I saw you, alone, dancing with the shadows.
The grave casts long shadows, Iron Lord, Mary said. Long and dark, and in the end, no light can hold them back.
Ser Jorah had killed her son, Dany knew. He had done what he did for love and loyalty, yet he had carried her into a place no living man should go and fed her baby to the darkness.
He knew it, too. The gray face, the hollow eyes, the limp.
The shadows have touched you, too, Ser Jorah,
she told him. The knight made no reply. Dany turned to the god's wife.
You warned me that only death could pay for life. I thought you meant the horse.
No,
Mary Mazdur said.
That was a lie you told yourself. You knew the price.
Had she? Had she?
If I look back, I am lost.
The price was paid,
Dany said.
The horse, my child, Quaro and Kotho, Hago and Kaholo. The price was paid and paid and paid.
She rose from her cushions.
Where is Khal Drogo? Show him to me, God's wife, Magi, blood mage, whatever you are. Show me Khal Drogo. Show me what I bought with my son's life.
As you command, Khaleesi, the old woman said. Come, I will take you to him.
Dany was weaker than she knew. Ser Jorah slipped an arm around her and helped her stand.
Time enough for this later, my princess, he said quietly.
I would see him now, Ser Jorah.
After the dimness of the tent, the world outside was blinding bright. The sun burned like molten gold, and the land was seared and empty. Her handmaids waited with fruit and wine and water, and Jogo moved close to help Ser Jorah support her. Ago and Rakaro stood behind. The glare of sun on sand made it hard to see more until Dany raised her hand to shade her eyes. She saw the ashes of a fire, a few score horses milling listlessly and searching for a bite of grass, a scattering of tents and bedrolls. A small crowd of children had gathered to watch her, and beyond she glimpsed women going about their work, and withered old men staring at the flat blue sky with tired eyes, swatting feebly at blood flies. A count might show 100 people, no more. Where the other 40,000 had made their camp, only the wind and dust lived now.
Drogo's Karasar is gone,
she said.
A Karl who cannot ride is no Karl, said Jogo.
The Dothraki follow only the strong, Ser Jorah said. I am sorry, my princess. There was no way to hold them. Kopono left first, naming himself Karl Pono, and many followed him. Jocko was not long to do the same. The rest slipped away night by night in large bands and small. There are a dozen new Karasars on the Dothraki Sea, where once there was only Drogo's.
The old remain, said Ago, the frightened, the weak, and the sick,
and we who swore. We remain. They took Khal Drogo's herds, Khaleesi, Rakaro said. We were too few to stop them. It is the right of the strong to take from the weak. They took many slaves as well, the Khals and yours, yet they left some few.
Eroa?
Asked Dany, remembering the frightened child she had saved outside the city of the Lamb Men.
Mago seized her, who is Khal Jocko's blood rider now, said Jogo. He mounted her high and low and gave her to his Khal, and Jocko gave her to his other blood riders. They were six. When they were done with her, they cut her throat.
It was her fate, Khaleesi, said Ago.
If I look back, I am lost. It was a cruel fate,
Dany said.
Yet not so cruel as Mago's will be. I promise you that by the old gods and the new, by the lamb god and the horse god and every god that lives, I swear it by the mother of mountains and the womb of the world. Before I am done with them, Mago and Kojako will plead for the mercy they showed Eroa.
The Dothraki exchanged uncertain glances.
Khaleesi,
the handmaid Eri explained, as if to a child.
Jocko is a Khal now, with 20,000 riders at his back.
She lifted her head.
And I am Daenerys Stormborn, Daenerys of House Targaryen, of the blood of Aegon the Conqueror, and Maegor the Cruel and old Valyria before them. I am the dragon's daughter, and I swear to you these men will die screaming. Now bring me to Khal Drogo.
He was lying on the bare red earth, staring up at the sun. A dozen blood flies had settled on his body, though he did not seem to feel them. Dany brushed them away and knelt beside him. His eyes were wide open, but did not see, and she knew at once that he was blind. When she whispered his name, he did not seem to hear. The wound on his breast was as healed as it would ever be, the scar that covered it gray and red and hideous.
"Why is he out here alone in the sun?"
she asked them.
"He seems to like the warmth, Princess," Sir Jorah said. "His eyes follow the sun, though he does not see it. He can walk after a fashion. He will go where you lead him, but no farther. He will eat if you put food in his mouth, drink if you dribble water on his lips."
Dany kissed her Sun and Stars gently on the brow and stood to face Miri Mazdur.
"Your spells are costly, Magi."
"He lives," said Miri Mazdur. "You asked for life. You paid for life."
"This is not life for one who was as Droga was. His life was laughter and meat roasting over a fire pit and a horse between his legs. His life was an Arak in his hand and his bells ringing in his hair as he rode to meet an enemy. His life was his blood riders, and me, and the son I was to give him."
Miri Mazdur made no reply.
"When will he be as he was?"
Dany demanded.
"When the sun rises in the west and sets in the east," said Miri Mazdur. "When the seas go dry and mountains blow in the wind like leaves, when your womb quickens again and you bear a living child, then he will return, and not before."
Dany gestured at Sir Jorah and the others.
"Leave us. I would speak with this Magi alone."
Mormont and the Dothraki withdrew.
"You knew,"
Dany said when they were gone. She ached, inside and out, but her fury gave her strength.
"You knew what I was buying, and you knew the price, and yet you let me pay it."
"It was wrong of them to burn my temple,"
the heavy, flat-nosed woman said placidly.
"That angered the great shepherd."
"This was no God's work,"
Dany said coldly.
"If I look back, I am lost. You cheated me. You murdered my child within me."
"The stallion who mounts the world will burn no cities now. His Khalasar shall trample no nations into dust."
"I spoke for you,"
she said, anguished.
"I saved you."
"Saved me?"
The Lazarine woman spat.
3 riders had taken me, not as a man takes a woman, but from behind as a dog takes a bitch. The 4th was in me when you rode past. How, then, did you save me? I saw my God's house burn where I had healed good men beyond counting. My home they burned as well, and in the street I saw piles of heads. I saw the head of a baker who made my bread. I saw the head of a boy I had saved from dead-eye fever only 3 moons past. I heard children crying as the riders drove them off with their whips. Tell me again what you saved."
"Your life?"
Miri Mazdur laughed cruelly.
"Look to your Karl and see what life is worth when all the rest is gone."
Dany called out for the men of her caste and bid them take Miri Mazdur and bind her hand and foot. But the Magi smiled at her as they carried her off, as if they shared a secret. A word, and Dany could have her head off. Yet then what would she have? A head? If life was worthless, what was death? They led Khal Drogo back to her tent, and Dany commanded them to fill a tub, and this time there was no blood in the water. She bathed him herself, washing the dirt and the dust from his arms and chest, cleaning his face with a soft cloth, soaping his long black hair, and combing the knots and tangles from it, till it shone again as she remembered. It was well past dark before she was done, and Dany was exhausted. She stopped for drink and food, but it was all she could do to nibble at a fig and keep down a mouthful of water. Sleep would have been a release, but she had slept enough. Too long, in truth. She owed this night to Drogo, for all the nights that had been, and yet might be. The memory of their first ride was with her when she led him out into the darkness, for the Dothraki believed that all things of importance in a man's life must be done beneath the open sky. She told herself that there were powers stronger than hatred, and spells older and truer than any the Magi had learned in Ashai. The night was black, and moonless, but overhead a million stars burned bright. She took that for an omen. No soft blanket of grass welcomed them here, only the hard, dusty ground, bare and strewn with stones. No trees stirred in the wind, and there was no stream to soothe her fears with the gentle music of water. Danny told herself that the stars would be enough.
"Remember, Drogo," she whispered. "Remember our first ride together, the day we wed? Remember the night we made Rego, with the Khalasar all around us and your eyes on my face? Remember how cool and clean the water was in the womb of the world? Remember, my sun and stars, remember, and come back to me."
The birth had left her too raw and torn to take him inside of her, as she would have wanted, but Doria had taught her other ways. Danny used her hands, her mouth, her breasts. She raked him with her nails and covered him with kisses and whispered and prayed and told him stories, and by the end she had bathed him with her tears. Yet Drogo did not feel, or speak, or rise. And when the bleak dawn broke over an empty horizon, Danny knew that he was truly lost to her.
"When the sun rises in the west and sets in the east," she said sadly. "When the seas go dry and mountains blow in the wind like leaves. When my womb quickens again, and I bear a living child. Then you will return, my sun and stars, and not before."
"Never,"
the darkness cried.
"Never, never, never."
Inside the tent, Danny found a cushion, soft silk stuffed with feathers. She clutched it to her breasts as she walked back out to Drogo, to her sun and stars.
"If I look back, I am lost."
It hurt even to walk, and she wanted to sleep, and not to dream. She knelt, kissed Drogo on the lips, and pressed the cushion down across his face.